Oh, this Emmaus Road story has just got so much in it. It's so rich, right? And the very first thing that I think we could think about is this. Don't you have the experience of these guys? They're walking away from something that they thought was going to be really good, and then it was a huge disappointment. Nobody has that? Come on. Right? You know this. We know this. And we're trying to, and things happen, and we're trying to explain, how in the world did this happen? And it can take a long time. We're continually like, how did that happen? Why did it happen? Why me? I was just with a family, and their father, the grandfather, the patriarch of the family, had died. And there was a woman in there, his daughter, and she was so like, why this? And she was really mad at God. And I said, yeah, that's okay. Her grandmother tried to rescue her from her own anger, right? To say, no, you should be mad at God. You know, God is merciful and this and that. And she said, well, not right now. I don't understand why in the world this is happening. Why did God do this? And she was befuddled. She didn't know what to think, except she knew what she felt, which was anger. So I was able to circle around to her later and say, you know what? God can take it. God can take your anger. Go ahead. And God will transform it eventually. But don't you do that. Let God do that. You go ahead and express your anger to God. God can handle it. And she was like, oh, yeah, okay. That I can do. But she's still wondering why. So these guys are walking on the path and they're talking about it, and it's good for them. They have companionship as they're walking home from this hope dashed, right, in Jesus. We had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. That's a huge thing. Not only to redeem Israel like spiritually, but they're talking about politically, right? They're talking about getting out from under the thumb of Rome. Wow, wouldn't that have been something, huh? What an incredible hope. When you hope that high, when you fall, it's a long fall. So that's these guys. And they're talking, and then there's this fellow who kind of saddles up next to him, and we all know it's Jesus. The narrator tells us it's Jesus, but these guys don't see him. And I love this. This is one of my favorite things in all the scripture. Hey, what you guys talking about? And I love their response. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened these days? Come on. And how ironic is all of that, right? They don't know who they're talking to. He says, I have a little hint, but go ahead, you all tell me. Right? And they start telling him. And actually, there's a beautiful thing about that, is that Jesus is going to reveal himself to them, but he doesn't reveal himself to them right away, right? He lets them start telling their story, right? And it's a story that's kind of jumbled and it's not quite connected. There's all these things. There's all the facts and there's all the things that happen, but there's no unifying like meaning to it, except for dashed hope, right? So they're talking about it, but he gets them to talk about their story before he reveals himself to them. And then he reveals himself not first of all like, here I am, but more like, let's go talk about Moses and the rest of the prophets and go through and see how it is that the Messiah must suffer and enter into his glory. All the different ways that God has revealed to us that God comes to us actually in the suffering. That Jesus was there, right? When Abel was killed, Jesus died, right? When Moses was abandoned in the rushes, right? That was Jesus was abandoned. And they all through this whole thing, every time, whenever there was something that happened, when David had to flee from Jerusalem, that was Jesus that had to flee. Jesus is always with those who have been victimized. The Messiah is the one who is with them and with us in our suffering. And he opens up the scripture. And then he walks as if he's leaving. And they say, no, don't go away. This is beautiful hospitality. Don't go. It's evening. You don't want to be out there in the dark. Come on in here. So he comes to their house, and then this beautiful thing. They sit at the table, and he takes bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And then their eyes are opened, and they recognize him. Ah! Dear church, do you hear that? You break the bread, and Jesus is there. But there's more. This is the meal. This is all, I think what we can call this meal is the first meal of the new age, the kingdom of heaven. Why do I say that? Because there was another meal, the very first meal that is recorded in history, right? It's the meal where the serpent beguiles the man and the woman, right? And it says that they're talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the serpent beguiles them and says, look, you want, did God say you were going to die if you ate this? Come on, no, he knows that you'll be just like God and know good from evil. And so, seeing that the tree was good for wisdom and the fruit was beautiful, the woman takes the fruit, eats it, and gives it to her husband, who eats it. And then their eyes were opened. But they don't see Jesus. They don't see God. They see that they are naked and ashamed. That's the first thing. Here we are. And then comes the second meal. But what happens in the first meal, and the really important thing to know about this first meal, is that the idea was that God created the earth for communion with God. The world as sacrament. Not that we be like God, but that in everything that we eat, everything that we drink, everything that we see and do, that we are with God. And the proper response to all of that is thanksgiving, is blessing God. So you'll notice that the difference between the first meal and the second meal isn't that that food is broken, it's that Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. And that blessing makes all the difference. This is how we're supposed to be. Wow, food. Thanks be to God. This is from God. This is how we commune with God. The whole world was supposed to be that way. Everything that we do. Those pews that you're sitting in. Thanks be to God. Right? This carpet I'm standing on is to bring us communion with God. God gave us all this to draw us in with God. Not to be like God. So, here's Jesus. And this second meal is the meal that breaks everything open. He blesses and breaks the bread. And in blessing and breaking the bread, he breaks the beguilement that happened in that first meal. In the breaking of the bread, he breaks down all of the dividing walls of hostility between us and everyone else. For we had thought that this world was ours and not theirs. Part of that original beguilement. He breaks the bread and breaks us out of that trance so that we see all people as us, as all people, as beloved children of God, in the image of God. Oh, and don't our hearts burn when we see that and when we hear that? So, at least it does for me. This one time I can tell you about. So last year in November, I was in Arizona, and I had heard about this pizzeria that had the best pizza in the world. There was a whole big documentary about it. I was so excited because I was going to be in Phoenix, and it was in Phoenix. And the documentary was all about how this guy, he wrote a book. He had 1,000 pieces of pizza in a year. I want that job. But then he wrote a book. He all traveled all over the world because he wanted to find the best pizza in the world. And his conclusion was, it's in Phoenix, Arizona. Everybody just laughed and said, oh, right, yeah. And all his response, his only response was, go try the pizza. So I took that as a personal invitation. So when I was in Phoenix, went, and so we were playing in a softball tournament, and I'm traveling with a couple of guys, native guys from up in Omak, and we're staying with friends of ours. And so as a thank you for the people letting us stay there, I said, let's take them out to this place for dinner, and we'll treat them to dinner. So we went, and then there's some other folks on the team that wanted to come. And so, yeah, it was this whole big gathering of people. And we had this pizza, and I thought it was amazing. It was great. It really was good. So afterwards, though, we're all in the car, and there's about 7 or 8 of us. And one of the guys, Steve, my friend from OMAC, he leans into me and says, Paul, this is just like you. You take 2 native guys, an African-American, a Cuban-American, and you take us to an Italian restaurant, and we're served by Mexicans. And I said, the kingdom of heaven. That's it. All of that stuff. It didn't mean anything, right? It was just, this was like, to sit and eat at that meal was heaven. Right? And that's the kind of meal that every day we are invited to. Amen. That our whole life is like this. Oh, to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Every meal is holy ground. Every interaction with someone else is holy ground. That's what Jesus is calling us to. That's what our eyes are being opened up to. Isn't that just amazing? And isn't it beautiful? And isn't it holy? This meal, this little bit of bread and that little cup of wine, that it does that for us. It brings us into that. And our hearts are strangely warm.